sure everyone has one, especially if you're a guest or visiting with us. So at least you have the opportunity to follow along, if you would like. The title of the lesson is How We Got the Bible. How did the Bible come to us? And just by way of introduction, I'm going to give you a quick sequence, and then we'll talk a little bit about its inspiration. First of all, when you think about its origin, it originates with God. We refer to our Bible as the Word of God. And God gave that Word to Jesus. In John 12, verse 49, Jesus says, I haven't spoken of myself. Didn't speak for myself. But the Father which sent me gave me a commandment of what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that His commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said to me, so I speak. What Jesus said is what the Father said. Jesus gave that word to the apostles. In John 17, verse 8, in his prayer to the Father, he said, For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them. So what started with God has now been given to Jesus, and he gave that same word, didn't alter it, didn't change it, didn't add or take away from it. He gave it, number three, to his apostles. Jesus also gave that word to the apostles with some added strength and for a purpose. In John 14, verse 26, after Jesus leaves, he says, But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he, that Spirit, shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said to you. In John 16, verse 13, Jesus said, Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, Comforter, the Holy Spirit, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he, now listen, will not speak of himself or from himself. The Holy Spirit, in delivering the Word of God, the Word of Jesus to the apostles, will not run amok. He'll not be a maverick. He'll not go off on his own. He'll not say, oh, this is what I think the Father intended. He will speak exactly what the Father gave to Jesus, that Jesus gave to the apostles. Amen. Right there. And whatsoever he shall hear, still in John 16, verse 13, that he shall speak and show you things to come. So God gave that word to Jesus, who gave the word to the apostles, and they spake that same word by inspiration. The apostles spoke that word. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10, was in our text today, says, But God has revealed them, meaning his information, unto us by his Spirit, which things also we speak. So the apostles spoke the word. Romans 10, verse 14, says, How then can they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how can they believe in him whom they've not heard? Meaning, like people like us, the audience, people in the community. It says, and how can they hear without a preacher? That word has to be spoken. And Romans 10, 17 says, faith comes by hearing. Hearing the word of God. The apostles not only went everywhere and preached that inspired word, but they also wrote it down. In John 20, in verse 30, the Bible says, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his apostles, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing ye might have life 4:16, when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea, when ye it was written, so that we can read and understand. 1 Thessalonians 5:27, I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read. Be read. In Revelation 1:3, there's a blessing in those that read. image of God. That's pretty good. Number two, the Bible sets out its own view of inspiration. It's going to sound funny, but number one under number two. It takes revelation to know God. Verses 9 and 10, these are all, now the verses, these are from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 13. Verses 9 and 10. Understand, it takes revelation to know God. The eye has not seen. I'll let that sink in a moment. The eyes have not seen, nor the ears heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man. Three things. The eyes haven't seen, the ears haven't heard, and neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. That says that you cannot know by nature, nor by intuition, nor by human history, the things of God. You can't know God without revelation from Him. What was someone said, "Oh, Brian, I'll get all your dissents in here." I said, "Oh, Brian, you can learn a great deal about God from nature." That has some plausibility. Usually, that line of reasoning is like this. They'll look at your watch, your timepiece, and from observation, you say, "I know this watch didn't make itself." Well, maybe mine did. My watch might not be the best illustration. But then somebody look at a watch, and they'll say, that didn't come about on its own. Its very existence necessitates a maker. So they'll reason, I reason from the watch to a watchmaker. Right? Look at yourself. I'm not a product of my own creation. The world around me didn't come into existence by chance or accident. Then we look around at creation and we see wisdom and design everywhere. From that we reason a maker or a designer, a God. So we think, oh, that's logical reasoning. That you can learn a great deal about God from nature. Now let's break that down a little bit. From that mode of reasoning, I wouldn't know whether there was one God or 10 gods. All you did was reason from design to a designer. Why did you think only one? Could have been 10, 300, I don't know. Could have been more. Plus, I wouldn't know if that designer, if I reason there's a God up there or a great designer, if he or she was good or bad. I don't know if it's he or she. All I know is that there's a designer, the designer, or designers. I see this universe, power, design. But every time I get bad weather, I think, "Oh, that's a bad designer." Have good weather, "Oh, it's a good designer." When things are going my way, things are good. But when things are bad, "Oh, that's not good." Bible says in Psalm 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God. Firm it shows His handiwork. But I can look at all that great creation, that great design, and I can say, okay, trees or stars or sun, moon, tell me how to have my sins forgiven. Did you hear me? Creation does not give you any instruction. Tell me, creation, how I'm to get along with my wife. Please. Maybe you didn't hear me, creation. Tell me how to, creation, tell me, or design, tell me how to worship You. No instruction. know what one's thinking unless it's revealed in words. I may think I know what you're thinking. I might even have a pretty good guess. But I don't know unless you tell me. And sometimes we even go up to people, what are you thinking? We need information. We need revelation. It takes words to constitute a revelation. And then number three, under number two, how was that revelation made? Verse 13, still in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Which things, the apostle said, we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. He mentions first, things we speak. What things? What are the things? You think about the mind of God. God, what do you have? What do you want me to say? What do you want me to impart? What information am I to disperse? What things? Things we, Paul and the other inspired writers, speak using words. Then he says, and not in words which man's wisdom teaches. Then somebody says, oh, Brian, I hear what you're saying, but you know what? I think, you're starting off wrong right there. I think the writers were guided or inspired in thought. You ever hear that one? I think they were inspired in thought. And they use their own judgment in selecting words to convey these thoughts. That's what somebody might say. If I believe that, which I don't, I would wonder in every instance whether the inspired writers selected the right words or not. I wonder. You see, I'm dependent on those words for the ideas that they convey. And if in any instance they err, then to that extent I'm unable to know the thought that they wanted presented. If those writers were left to their own judgment, it would have necessitated an exercise of human wisdom. And Paul just said, I speak not in words, or we speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches. Even his own wisdom, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. So he just said how it was not in man's wisdom. Now he tells us how it is, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. If the words were not the Holy Spirit's words, and not the writer's words, in the sense that the writer's words, or the writer selected those words, that is verbal inspiration. The Bible, every word that the apostles taught and preached is inspired and came from God. Someone says again, we'll close with this one. Last point, down to the very bottom. Someone says again, Brian, all right. Granted that it was verbally inspired, yeah. You know, Brian, you're talking about a document that's nearly 2,000 years old. Yes. I suppose that was indeed the case in the first century. However, they're going to say, Brian, what assurance do we have that it's been preserved? What assurance do we have that the Word of God that we have today hasn't been contaminated over 2,000 years? I have an answer. Now let's take just reason together for a moment. Just subjective reasoning. The gospel was to be preached till the end of the age. That was Jesus' commission. It's going to be preached till the end of the age. End of the world. Remember the purpose of the revelation? Purpose of the Bible? In general terms, we say, oh, it was written so we would receive instructions so that it would enable us to return to God because sin separates us. The Bible was written to find salvation. That was in John 20, verses 30 and 31. Written that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ. Believing we might have life through his name. So the same purpose, therefore, that prompted its original presentation is going to exist until it served its purpose. So it would seem strange to me that God would give a matter, the design of which is to save man, the design of which is to operate till the end of the world, would he allow it to suffer corruption so that it cannot achieve its purpose? God said, I want this gospel preached to the end of the world. That's just reason. Would God allow his purpose to be defeated? We are not dependent upon human reasoning for its continued existence. The Bible confirms its own existence. And that's the text on the bottom of your page. 1 Peter 1, beginning of verse 23. We are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Remember, I said, I believe the Bible is the word of God. That every word is true. And if he says it's going to live and abide forever, I believe it. He said, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of grass. We come and go. Grass withers, the flower falls. But the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. There you go. The inspiration of the Bible. From God to man. And you can believe it. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of invitation. A song of exhortation. If you're here this morning, that's in the church. The Bible says you must be born again in the words of Jesus in John chapter 3 and verses 3 and 5. And we read in our text, you need to hear the biblical message. Because Romans 10, 17 says faith comes by hearing the word of God. And once you hear that message, then you need to believe it. Faith. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Based upon your faith, you're going to say, as John 14, verse 15 says, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Well, God, I love you. I want to keep your commandments. But Jesus said in Luke 13, 3, repent or perish. Well, I want to repent. And then you'll need next to confess your faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Don't confess you're a sinner. God already knows that. That's why you're coming. Don't you repeat a sinner's prayer. God, I'm a sinner. We know that. Your confession is a confession of faith. That you believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. Based upon that confession of faith, you can be baptized for remission of sins. That's the foundation for being baptized, is your faith and your repentance. Your faith changes your belief from non-belief to your belief that Jesus is the Son of God. Your repentance changes your life. Turns your life around from not wanting to do what God says to doing it. Your baptism changes your relationship from not being a child of God to being a child of God. If you don't repent, your baptism won't make you any better after you're baptized than you were before. Baptism is not designed to change your life. Repentance is designed to do that. Baptism is designed to change your relationship to becoming a child of God, a member of the family. That's the invitation. And here it is in review very quickly. You need to hear the gospel. Believe it. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith in Jesus Christ as being God's Son. And then you can be baptized. I need those four things in place before you're baptized. From that point on, then you begin to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the invitation. It's open for all. Whosoever will want to make a public declaration, or if that's your resolve to be baptized, we can do that right now. We just simply need your response. So let's stand together, sing the song that Des has selected for us.